Greetings and God bless you, my friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Wow Factor, the word of wisdom designed to inspire, empower, and enlighten you in just a few short minutes at a time. My name is D.L. Wallace, and I am elated to be the host of this day's call, where our motto is simple: your soul will be blessed in 8 minutes or less. Our request is simple as well. Send this podcast to your coworkers, your neighbors, your loved ones, and friends so they can have some inspiration to make it through the course of their day. Let's jump right into our topic today, my friends, and that topic is simply false advertising. False advertising. Think about how agitated we are every time we encounter an instance of false advertising. Imagine driving down the highway and seeing a sign for 50 cents a gallon gasoline. Well, obviously, you're going to pull over because that's a great deal. Say you pull over and they say, oh, we forgot to change the sign. It really should be $2.50. Well, you're agitated because of the false advertising. Yes, my friends and neighbors, it's never pleasant in any situation. And false advertising also has a relevance in our spiritual lives. Because the Bible tells us in Matthew 7:15 that we should watch out for false prophets, which come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Then we discover in Matthew 7:21, the Bible says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But yeah, so how do we know what is false advertising in this spiritual life, my friends and neighbors? There are some elements about us that must be real. I want to outline the 5 elements that must be real in our false acronym. That F reminds us that our faith must be real. Yes, my friends and neighbors, our faith must stand the test of time. Our faith has got to be real. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:5, that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. It shouldn't rest in what the doctor says. It shouldn't rest in what the lawyer said. But our faith, my friends and neighbors, is in the power of God. I know a guy who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. The doctors had given him only 6 months to live. That guy is now 20 years later. He's still alive and kicking. He's still doing well. Why? Because his faith didn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the more we hear the word of God, the more our faith gets stronger. Yes, my friends and neighbors, the more real it becomes. In fact, Jesus even said in Luke 2:22-32, when he was talking to Peter, he said, I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith does not fail. How strong is your faith today, my friends and neighbors? Is your faith real? Are you putting more faith in the news than you are in God? Do you have more faith in what the people say than you do in what God says? My friends and neighbors, I challenge you today to allow that faith to be real in your life. Yes, my friends and neighbors, our faith must be real. That A reminds us also that our appreciation must be real. Have you ever given a gift to someone and they acted like they didn't appreciate it? You may have known that they needed the gift. You may have known that they wanted the gift and you gave it to them and then they barely said thank you. Well, you know, that's not good. And as saints of God, we don't want that same thing in our relationship with the Father. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Yes, my friends, we discover in Ephesians 5:20 that we should give thanks always for all things unto God. Yes, my friends and neighbors, think about it. We've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got a lot to appreciate God for, from where he's brought us to what he's taught us. We've got a lot to be thankful for. I challenge you to look around today right now, my friends and neighbors, and just say thank you. If you're on your way to the office, just utter the words, thank you, Jesus. I don't care where you are or what you're doing. Maybe you just lift your hands and say, God, I praise you. I thank you. I adore you. Then start thinking of all the beautiful things that God has done for us. Think about it. He gave us beautiful days. He's given us beautiful people to dwell in our midst. And oftentimes we overlook those things and only can look back on things that are gone or past alone. But our job is to be thankful for everything God has surrounded us with. Yes, my friends and neighbors, that L in our false acronym reminds us that our love must be real. Yes, my friends and neighbors, our love must be real. So real that just like the Bible says in Romans 12:14, 14, that we even bless those that persecute us. We bless them. We don't curse them. So real that we can love one another. Like the Bible says in 1 John 4:7, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Even Jesus talked about how easy it is to love someone that loves us already. It's easy to love our parents. It's easy to love our friends. It's easy to love those that say great things about us, that pat us on the back. But how much, my friends and neighbors, can we then love those that don't say great things about us? Love those that don't talk well of us? Love those that don't speak highly of us? Well, God will deal with them, but we've got to love them. We can't love them and deal with them. We can't exact vengeance. He said vengeance belongs to him. Yes, my friends and neighbors, we are noted by our love. That S reminds us that our service must be real. Yes, my friends and neighbors, isn't it a joy to serve the Lord? He's our Father, and we get the chance to serve him. I'm thankful for those who work with me. I've got children of mine who've grown up, and they've gone to college, and they've gotten educations, and now they work with our organization. And I'm so thankful that they work with our company, because they get the opportunity to serve, and they're serving with gladness. You see, there's a way to serve and a way not to serve. The way to serve is outlined in contribution versus commitment. See, we don't want to serve by contribution. We want to serve by full commitment. If you want a good example of full commitment, I can tell you a story about a chicken and a pig that went to a fast food restaurant. And a big sign outside said, all you can eat, ham and eggs. So the chicken looks at the pig and say, hey, pig, let's go in there and get some of that ham and eggs. Pig says, all right, I'm game. So they get into the restaurant, and the head chef says, hey, guys, I'm sorry. We just sold out. I just served my last plate of ham, and I just fried my last egg. Well, the chicken raised his wing and said, hey, no worry, no problem. I'll go back in the kitchen and contribute some eggs, and my buddy Pig here, he'll give the ham. And the pig said, hey, wait a minute, man, hold up, because if you go in that kitchen, all you've got to do is make a contribution. But when I go in the kitchen, I've got to be fully committed to this breakfast, because a piece of me will be on that plate. By the same token, my friends and neighbors, when we're fully committed to the service of God, that means a piece of us has been given to the service. That means we are in it, that our lives are vested. Some people are great at serving in their churches, are great at serving the Savior in various ways. What way have you committed to giving your life? There are so many people that have given a part of or all of their life to the cause of God, and that cause is always rewarded. My friends and neighbors, I wish we had time to finish this segment, but until we talk again on the next time, God bless you, God bless your families, and embrace the new and improving you.